And welcome everyone to the there's no show this week. It's just me. It's just me talking because we were going to do a show this week but there were multiple unexpected things that happened to multiple of the co-hosts here. So there's already going to be a busy week for Nicole and I, and then a few additional things happened that were just they came out of nowhere, and you know, we just don't have the headspace really to record a new show. I'll just let you know, I don't know what my co-hosts are comfortable with sharing, maybe when they come back they'll tell you, but everyone is fine, the four of us are okay, just things outside of the four of us. Anyway, we're not going to do a new show this week, so instead, we are going to do what a lot of shows do that are half a decade old at this point. Well, we've been doing this for a minute, and we're going to release one of our like best of kind of shows. And so the episode you're going to hear today, it's the top five show from 2020, or like the end of year best of show, whatever, for 2020. We did top five, and we didn't do bottom five like we kind of do now. Back then we did some other superlatives, and it's just a little bit different, but that episode is special because that is the episode that ends with my proposal to Nicole. That's right. If you've just joined us in the past couple of years, you might not know that when the show started, Nicole and I were just boyfriend and girlfriend, oh so young, and yeah, I proposed to her on our top five show, unexpected, she didn't see it coming, and yeah, so if you want to hear that, keep on listening. That's what's going to happen in this episode. And we'll get back on our regular cadence next week. We're going to do a catch-up show. There's a lot of things that came out recently. A lot of monkey movies, as I said. And some other streaming things to catch up on. But yeah, just didn't have the time this week. All the co-hosts, like I said, everyone's okay. Just people are dealing with their own things this week. And yeah, so a lot of stuff happens. So we will catch up with you guys next week, but I hope you enjoy this this best of show. We talk about, what do we talk about in this one? Promising Young Woman comes up, Hubie Halloween, The Circle, Pigeon Kings comes up for the first time. You remember Nicole loving Pigeon Kings? This is like the COVID year, so it's a weird top five one for sure. But hope you enjoy it, and yeah, we will be back with regular scheduled programming next week, hopefully, unless more crazy things happen, but hopefully that would. No, hopefully not that. So enjoy. Talk to you guys later. Enjoy your movies. Whatever. Fuck off. And it's everyone's favorite show of the year. It's the end of the year show where we do our top fives, our least favorite movies, a couple other superlatives we're throwing in. Quick reminder for last year, I think our film of the year ended up being Parasite. This was before it won the Oscars. We were first to
so
recognize.
Good, yeah.
It was on all three, or oh, sorry, all four of our top threes. So that's a pretty impressive feat right there. I don't think any other movies even made more than two. Don't know if that's going to happen again this year, since I don't know how many of us saw, all four of us saw the same movie. I know if it wasn't for the show, you guys were probably not watching a whole lot of brand new movies, but you know, I personally got 503 movies watched this year, 104 from 2020. So got a nice little pool to choose from.
I have almost that many. I'm really close behind in that. So.
Oh, stop it!
Every movie I watched is what you told me to watch this year. So that's.
I might have like a plus three to that, but yeah, I think so too.
When we get to the non-movie section of the thing, then maybe you'll have more things to contribute there. So this year we're gonna start off with our worst movies of the year. I have a bottom five, I suppose. I don't know what you guys got, but Mama K, why don't you lead us off? What's your least favorite or some of your least favorite movies of this year, 2020?
Yeah, this is rough. I mean, because when you just said now that Parasite was the best one last year and we were all like, yeah, that's the best one. Ugh, wow. We've just devolved so badly. So I have three least
faves. It's a weaker year.
Well, it's the weakest year. I can't think of a weaker year ever. So one movie I can't even remember the name of, but it's the deer movie with the people who talked like this the whole time, and Nicole Kidman was in it, and it was awful.
You're already off to a bad start, because Cohen and the Sacred Deer was not a 2020 film, so...
Are you kidding me? Didn't I do this
God,
before?
This is like when you tried to drive Coco the other year. This is, you...
But we watched it this year?
Yes, we watched it this year, but we don't go by what we watched this year. We go by the year it came out. So,
okay, right, well,
already
you know
0-1.
Okay, well, the other two right, I know were. Okay, so the Borat movie, awful, and Hubie Halloween. Then those are my
Borat
two.
Subsequent movie film. That was a good movie.
No, it was subsequently terrible. Probably the first one was originally terrible. So, nope. And I think, is Hubie Halloween going to be on all of our lists? Because I feel like it should be.
Of our bottom list.
The bottom list, yeah. I don't have much to say about them, except for I regret having seen them.
Yeah, well, Hubie.
And the deer movie. I still regret that, even if it was the year before.
Still not this year, but all right, so Hubie Halloween and Borat, subsequent movie film on Mama K's bottom two, since her third is not a... Jess, why don't you give us your least favorite or some of your least favorites?
All right, so I have down bottom five. They're not really ordered, just five shitty movies from this year. And they weren't hard to put together. Like, when I read the Excel, I was like, yep. Finding the
it's
top
five. It's
probably
easier than your top five, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Finding the top five. I could find, like, four, but finding the fifth one in the top five was hard for me. But the bottom five, the easy ones, were Happiest Season, Devil All the Time, Hubie Halloween, Greta and Hansel, and The Hunt.
Wow.
Wow.
Devil All the Time, really?
I didn't know you hated Happiest Season that much. Yeah,
yeah, it was pretty bad. I thought we all didn't like it.
I didn't like it either. No.
Yeah, but I don't think it was a bad movie per se.
I can't. Yeah, none of those. Hubie's on my bottom five. What other ones do you have? Gretel and Hansel. You and I are the only ones who saw that. I didn't think that was. I think we saw worse horror movies than that. But yeah, I'm not gonna sit here and defend any of those. I didn't care for any of those either. yeah, that's what it is.
Fair.
Hunt was decent. I thought Hunt.
I didn't like Hunt.
Anyway, well, Nicole, up on to you now. This is where you get to shine. What movies sucked this year?
Okay. I actually broke my suckish movies down into two subcategories, and the only reason I did this is because three of these are going to be pretty controversial for the general public, I think. But my two worst that we can all agree on, number one is Hubie Halloween.
Are we gonna have a consensus bottom this year as opposed to a consensus top?
Possibly.
And my number two was Bad Therapy, a Netflix film that I believe was Rob Corddry and Alicia Silverstone. And
yep, that's right.
You know, those are really beloved
Hulu
actors.
Film.
Hulu, and I think that was just such a flop. It was such a shame. It was so terrible. My other subcategory is films that I think had the most hype for no reason because they weren't that good.
I like that category.
Yeah, and the three that fall into that category for me are Tenet, Wonder Woman 1984, and Mulan. Those are my three most hype for no reason.
Oh, I didn't know that you didn't like Mulan. I didn't see it.
I was let down a little bit. No, Mulan.
Yeah.
Oh, Mulan. Yeah, Mulan was, I didn't think it was terrible, but you're right. It was, it did not live up to the hype. It was a big letdown. Mulan, the original, my favorite of all the Disney princess movies, if you want to even call it that. But, there's some good categories there. Couldn't agree more with my number five worst, which is Bad Therapy. That movie is terrible.
It was so bad.
No one else.
8% on Rotten.
It has 8%.
I was watching it. I was like, what do you think this has? And the girl was like, I don't know. Like, I think she said like 30 something. I'm like, I'm going to go like 12. And I was too high. It was
single digits.
It's a small movie. I don't want to dump it any more than that. My number four.
It's Mr. Crocker giving Timmy a triple F minus.
It was a triple F minus. Well, number one's triple F minus. The only good movie, like not good movie, but the only like people seem to like it. It's fresh on Tomatoes. It might get like award stuff. Is Shirley? That movie made me angry. Like, I don't know why that movie was good. But yeah, just okay. Yeah. You were on that one.
What is Shirley
Hayden
about?
Shirley. The writer Shirley Jackson.
Oh, God.
The lottery. Like, yeah.
It's not good. I like the lottery, that story, but I do not like the movie about this woman. Hubie Halloween's my third, so there you go. There's our consensus. Everyone hates Hubie Halloween here.
Okay, I want to know what 2 and 1 is then.
Two is probably the objectively worst movie I watched, which is The Swing of Things, which is a movie on Hulu as well. Hulu, not a good look early here, but it has John Lovitz in it, and Luke Wilson, and a bunch of other bums that I've never seen before. And I started it, and I wanted to get my 500 movie challenge.
I started it with you, and I didn't watch more than 5 minutes of that.
It was so I think the only 0-star movie I gave out of the 503 movies I saw in 2020. Just an abomination. So, and the number one least favorite, which is, you know, it's probably slightly better than Swing of Things, but not by much. And it's just, it makes me angry to think about The Turning. The Turning is the worst. It's so horrible. I can't believe Jess was excited for it. That's an old January movie, but it fell below my bottom of the barrel expectations. It was even worse than I thought it was going to be. So there's the bottom five for me. There's our least favorites out of the way. Hubie Halloween gets our version of the Golden Razzie, I guess, for everyone's least favorite thing.
It was so horrible.
I think it gets everyone's version of that. I can't imagine. Come on.
Yeah, seriously.
So we're going on to our non-movie section now, and this is shorts, both live action and animated, TV shows that came out this year, miniseries, anything from 2020 that came out the season or long form. You know, there's a lot of decent TV out there these days, so we thought we would give a little plug to some of our favorites in there. Mama Kay, back around to you. Favorite non-movie things this year?
I actually have two. One is just sentimental because I love Chris Evans so much, as I loved watching Defending Jacob, 8 episodes on Apple TV. I watched it a couple times, and there's a book, but I probably won't read it.
Yeah, we don't read here, remember?
Yeah, not strong readers. I mean, Jess, if you want to read it, you can read it, but
this is not book club.
Yeah, non movie does not mean book. You still have to watch it on a streaming service.
Yeah, this is not book club. Can't make that more clear.
And the thing that I really enjoyed the most, I have watched a lot of series, stuff, television and things, and is The Queen's Gambit. I mean,
man, that was so good.
It's really good.
Me and Brendan are still in the dark on that one.
I would like to watch it again for the first time, but I know that that's not possible. So
we'll watch it.
Yeah, I've heard it's really quite good. Yeah,
well crafted, good story. I mean, it's about chess, and you're like, how am I going to watch something about chess? But is it? So
interesting.
Well, okay. Anything else in your non-movie category? Any shorts? Any other TV shows?
No, I just finished Bridgerton, and you know.
Yeah, that's enough.
I couldn't finish that.
If you want
to, I tried watching a few episodes, and I couldn't do it.
Oh, that sounds like the minority consensus about it.
A little bit.
Yeah, a lot of people liked it, but I couldn't do it.
It slides down. Like, as you're watching it, I'm like, okay, I have to finish this. And by episode five, I guess I'm still into it. But after episode five, I'm like, I need this to be over with. So I just got to power through. So
what's it about, just real quick, because I actually have not heard of this.
It's basically Downton Abbey porn. Is that a good way to describe it, Jess?
Oh my god,
I didn't get to the porn part. I think I gave up too early.
Girl, there was porn in episode one. What are you talking about?
What the fuck?
I guess I don't remember, and I didn't like it.
Yeah,
I would be. I was confused by the Downton Abbey movie immensely, so I have no interest in this at all.
Yeah. I've heard it described as Gossip Girl, like R to X-rated Gossip Girl R-rated Gossip Girl meets Downton Abbey. So,
oh my god, I don't know. That sounds horrendous.
Yeah, yikes! Well, let's go on to Jess. All right, Jess, this is your time to shine. Stuff that's not movies. What'd you see this year?
Well, I agree with Mama K. Queen's Gambit was very, very good. I also want to give my appreciation at TikTok for exploding this year. I spent many hours watching TikTok videos.
Yes.
So,
yeah, honestly,
yeah. So I think if we're talking like screen time and watching things, I think it's just social media just exponentially going crazy this year. So that took a lot of my screen time. And then I'm just gonna say the short that I did for my pick is If Anything Happens, I Love You. Still think that's a phenomenal tiny little movie, so kudos to that one.
Nice.
Any other series, or mostly just a TikTok wormhole? Because I found myself
big appreciation to TikTok.
Yeah, can I give a real quick shout out to your Korean dad on TikTok because he's my fave.
Oh, we can't start shouting out channels. There's so many.
I just needed two. Just your Korean dad. And the guy who just chops trees all day.
Oh, you've already. Now you're doing two. That's enough.
Okay, sorry. When's our TikTok episode? Okay.
Yeah, we can do that. I have no problem with that. There's a lot of creators that I actually want to give a shout out to. But that's for another episode. Nicole, what's your favorite non-movie stuff from this year?
I have one thing on my list. And I don't know what happened this year. I guess I just didn't watch new things. I was catching up on some old stuff. But the one thing that I have, it came out in July. And I remember one of my girlfriends was over. We were just relaxing, watching Netflix. And something that we decided to watch that became like amazing was on Netflix. It was called Indian Matchmaker. It was literally a show.
Oh, heck yeah.
I watched that.
Oh, yeah.
It was literally.
I thought you were going to say a different show.
No, a show about a woman who is a matchmaker for up and coming and hip 30 somethings. And it was just amazing. I just loved it so much. It was so good.
That's a good call.
Do you have any other ones?
No, that's all I had, really.
I thought you were going to say Love on the Spectrum, because you watched that with your same friend that came over around the same time.
That was good, too. That was good, too. I forgot about that.
Yeah, for me, for the short, it's obvious. If Anything Happens, I Love You was, I think, my favorite short of 2020. Ooh. There were other ones I saw from older years, but for 2020 made that it led the pack by a good bit. And then a couple other new original shows, which I had never seen. One I'm not ashamed to like, and one I'm extremely ashamed to like. No. The one I'm not ashamed to like is Upload, which is on Amazon Prime. And that's created by Greg Daniels, the creator of The Office and Parks and Rec. But this is like a sci-fi show. He gets uploaded to like a virtual reality world, and that's like the afterlife. Really good. It's like a dramedy, sci-fi dramedy. Yeah, so I quite enjoyed Upload. Can't wait for another season of that. And then I'm extremely ashamed to say I watched the U.S. version and the Brazil version and the French version. Or no, French version? What?
Brazilian.
I think it was the French version. I watched The Circle, which is a reality TV show on Netflix.
That's from 2020?
That's not 2020.
I looked it up. Well, the U.K. versions came out older, but Netflix came out with the U.S., Brazil, and French versions this year.
Well, those were amazing. If I had known that was 2020, that would definitely be on my list, too, because
they are in the vein of Big Brother, except they are all in isolated rooms, so actually it was
social
kind of
media
ahead of its time in that way. Yeah, it's really addictive. And I don't like those kinds of shows, usually, but I really, really liked all languages of
The Circle.
You
shouldn't be ashamed, bro.
There is a little,
you know,
shame. It's good for. It's
we like who we like. We like what we like. We love who we love. Just
that's
what
right.
It is.
It's a little shame. And then the best thing I obviously saw was Mandalorian season 2, because duh, like it was. It's the best Star Wars thing I think since Return of the Jedi. It's like it has every acclaim ever on all the sites rating, and it is 100% deserved. So yeah, Mandalorian. Don't need to gush all about that. I'd love to do our own episode on that, but. I know not everyone else here is a fan for some stupid reason, really dumb reason. That you talk about something you should be ashamed is not loving.
Oh, knock it off!
Yeah.
On to slow. No, we can't. We don't have time for this right now. So we're on to the tops of the year. So we're gonna go back and forth, starting at 5, work our way up to 1, and we're gonna see if we have a consensus winner. Even we have one movie that's on 2 of our lists. I have no idea.
I think we will have a 1 consensus winner.
There might be something.
If it's like a yeah, there might be a couple, but like if it's like a tie, obviously whatever has like the higher like if it's like a 2 and a 3 versus a 4 and a 5, you know what I mean?
All right.
So
I'm not doing
okay. Kick
math.
Us off. I'll do
okay,
the math.
So,
okay.
Are we doing? Oh, I know. Are we doing like 5, 5, 5, 5, 5, then 4, 4, mm-hmm. 4, 4, or am I? Okay,
yep,
good.
That we culminate with all of our number
That's
ones.
That's cool.
Yep.
All right. So number 5 just got mentioned. It's a Spike Lee joint called The Five Bloods.
All right.
That is something I really would have liked to spend a little more time with, but and I probably could have. I mean, really, what the hell was I doing during COVID? So
it was also a very long movie, so we spent a good amount of time with it.
It was a long movie. I know that I'll wind up seeing it at least, you know, I'll see it again. I'll see it a couple times again. But it was a nice, you know, sometime for me, Spike Lee's a little hit miss. And I really, really enjoyed this movie. Delroy Lindo, obviously. Yeah. Standout. Chadwick Boseman.
Yeah,
peace. Yeah,
peace. Gotta honorable mention Chadwick Boseman. Yeah, no, I usually, it's probably my second favorite Spike Lee movie. I really like that one. Jess, on to your top five. Number five.
So my top four was kind of, I guess, easier to spot out. My five was between a couple because, again, there wasn't much to choose from.
You said the same thing last year. You were like, I had four, and then I had to, like, kind of make up a fifth one.
Really? Okay, yeah, well, yeah. Same thing this year. And I just was like, let's just go with it. Vivarium. I thought that was a cool, unique, fun movie.
You put Vivarium as your fifth?
She can do whatever she wants. Yeah.
Exactly. I don't think she recommended. I don't think you recommended Vivarium.
Well, clearly I thought about it after I watched it. Exactly right. It took some time to simmer.
That's right. I do that all the time.
Wow. All right. Well, hey, you thought about it. For Jess speak, that deserves points on its own. So, all right. Vivarium sneaking onto the top five for Jess. What about you, Nicole? Number five.
My number five was Netflix film called His House, which was a horror thriller film. And I want there to be a second one, or I wanted it to be longer. Like, I wanted more of it because it was really good.
Wow.
Yeah, His House, interesting little Netflix horror movie about the refugees. And I'd never seen a horror movie like that. I always like the uniqueness.
Big twist.
Horror movies.
Are you saying His, like, H-I-S, or
His?
Oh, okay.
His House, H-I-S.
I thought you were saying hens, like Hen's House, like turkey, not about hen, the hen's chicken. House. Like, that doesn't sound like a horror movie.
No, All right. His House. All right, on to my number five. I had similar to last year as Jess, except for my own thing. I had an obvious top three, and then four through, like, eight or nine were all kind of mixed in there. So these are the two that made the cut. First, number five, Trial of the Chicago 7, Aaron Sorkin's second directed film, also wrote it. It's an acting tour de force. It's very talky and wordy, which are my kind of movies. Really
That's
good
only a second
all the
film.
Way. It's only a second directed. He's written a million things. Oh. And he's made some TV shows too.
And he's
film.
Big TV.
Yeah, a lot of TV before West Wing and that other one. I can never remember the newer one. Second movie. And yeah, just a tour de force. I think I like Molly's Game a little better. It's really close.
Molly's Game was way better.
I agree.
Oh, yeah, because you didn't understand what happened in Trial of the Chicago 7. It's Trial of the Chicago 7. Back around to you, Mom K.
My number four is a movie that has not been mentioned at all already in this 30 minutes that we've been going on. And it is On the Rocks with Bill Murray and Rashida Jones. And the last time we were doing a podcast, Brendan was talking about, ooh, it just makes me all warm and fuzzy. And whatever it was not a very warm and fuzzy thing. Right, Nicole?
Mm-hmm.
It was our last movie that we did. It was, which you recommended as well, but it's fine. Cool.
I did recommend it, but it's not warm and fuzzy. So this is a warm and fuzzy movie. It's everything I like about a film. It's set in the city. There's a lot of honking and signals and
I can do that for you for free, and then would you recommend that?
I think I'm the only other one here who saw On the Rocks, and that movie is goddamn boring. It's so boring.
Clearly, you weren't listening to all the honking.
You were.
It kept waking me up.
Yeah.
It was boring, and it was boring for Sofia Coppola, which is saying something.
It was a perfectly charming movie, and it was perfectly set for my number four pick.
Good.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jess, on to number four. At least a movie you liked, it sound like. What do you got for that?
Yeah, so my number four is what Nicole just said. I put His House.
His House already showing up twice on our list. Anything additional to say other than what Nicole already led with?
Yeah, no, I think we gushed about it. It's just very original. I think all of us agree we haven't seen a horror film quite like that. And it was fun.
Mm-hmm. Totally agree. Didn't quite make my list, but His House, solid movie. All right, His House taking the early lead. Yeah. What about you, Nicole?
My number four is a documentary. It is something that Brennan and I watched together that I don't think that either of you have seen, but it was very charming, very bizarre. It's the most unique thing I've ever seen. It has to do with the world of sporting that nobody knows about. It's called Pigeon Kings.
Oh yes, I can't believe this made your top five. This is we're mimicking last year, because last year you picked that other Art of Self-Defense. This is your Art of Self-Defense pick.
Yeah,
this year.
Pigeon Kings is an amazing documentary that follows national groups of people who do pigeon sport, where they throw them up in the air and watch them fly, and they get points for tricks, and it's just amazing.
It's so good.
Jess, I'm so worried about them.
You need to see it.
Yeah.
I think the thing was like
health check, please. Have somebody go over and make sure they're all
right. Is that can you ethically do that with
an animal? They get into that.
Just tell them the story of what just happened, that they recommended a pigeon throwing movie. So
I didn't. Yeah. I recommend it, but I wasn't on my top five. But damn, that is such a good. Oh, I love that. One of the synopses was middle-aged men on unemployment watch pigeons have seizures in unison. Like that's like what the tagline was. I'm like, it's even better than that. It's so amazing. Totally agree, Nicole. Great pick. Pigeon King, such a good movie. It's my turn again. I also have a documentary about an animal, and it's already been mentioned, though. It is My Octopus Teacher.
Oh, my God.
My host pick from earlier this year. Shed a tear at that poor octopus. He really bonded with that man. It is a touching documentary. It's my number one documentary of the year. I have several honorable mentions because it is a good year for docs, but... yeah, I really enjoyed that. My Octopus Teacher. Watched it twice. Teared up both times. So, My Octopus Teacher, number four for me. And now we're in our top threes. Back to you, Mama Kay.
I'm just a little... I'm taken aback a little bit. I'm just trying to wrap my brain around those things.
This year was so unexpected. You have to expect the unexpected with these picks. I mean, these were all...
That is very true.
Everything that was created... Everything that was created this year was so all over the map that it's so hard to even think what people are going to pick. That's what's fun about this year.
All right. Well, I mean, sure. I'm picking a movie for the third pick that I didn't know going into it anything, and I surprised myself that I was as much of a champion of it as I am, and it is Vast of Night.
Vast of Night.
It's, you know, I don't know, it was, everything about it was just like so fun and surreal and old-fashioned but edgy, and
I don't think I've heard of this.
Really,
I don't think so either.
Oh, was that just us then, huh?
It was just the two of us. Someone else was supposed to be on, but they had a thing. But that's on Amazon Prime. It's short. I think you'd both like that, actually. That's worth a watch for both of you.
It is, and it's quick, and it runs. You know, it runs. That's one of those movies where I was like, I could have probably watched a little bit more of this. I don't think they needed to make more of it, but it's. I would watch something else in that same exact vein.
That Bastion middle Knight. Monologue, I remember really stuck with me, that like middle when they interviewed the guy. It's I like that pick quite a bit. On to you, Jess, for your number three.
My number three is Uncle Frank. I think that this was the touching, moving movie of the year. I really appreciated it, and I remember Mom and Kay really liked it as well.
Yep.
Uncle Frank, very solid three-star movie. Paul Bettany, very good in it. One of the best actors of the year.
Always got to be a hater.
He is.
I got it.
We're the common folk.
The common.
We're picking Pigeon Kings, bitch. Like let's do our thing.
No one's heard of Pigeon Kings. You're the only person who's ever picked that for.
I don't care.
It's a fantastic movie. Well, what's your number three then, Nicole?
My number three is another. I guess that was like another thing they tried to do this year. It was kind of interesting. I wonder how many more things we're gonna do like this. But my number three is Hamilton. The reason I picked it that high is I just think that the play to movie deal, and just, you know, what COVID did for this, the way they were able to bounce back after that, I think that was really awesome. And it was just performed really amazing, and it gave a lot of people the opportunity to see the play without going to see it. So that was awesome.
Without spending $800 a ticket.
Yeah, seriously.
Yeah.
It was unique. I thought it was a well done. I like that second act quite a bit. The cabinet.
I think it was more the experience than directly the content, because I just think that it was so amazing choice that they made to do that, film it and put it on so people can see it, especially during COVID when nobody can go to the Times Square, nobody can go, Broadway. So I just thought it was genius.
All right, well, what do you got for number three, Brennan? Well, I got my top three here, and I'm a big fan of my top three here. I don't know who choked on their drink, but no one else has seen this yet because it just came out in theaters, but when it comes out available to everybody, you gotta go see Promising Young Woman. Promising Young Woman is so good. It is so good. And if you guys say you haven't heard of it, I'm gonna be so mad. I will be so angry. Angry.
Wait, who's in this?
This is starring, you guys are, oh my lord, this is Carey Mulligan, and it is a directorial debut of Emerald Fennell, and it is about a woman who, she's in like her mid-30s, and she pretends to go out and get drunk every night, and a nice guy will take her home, and then she will turn the tables on him for trying to take advantage of this poor woman, and it goes deeper than that. One of the best endings I saw this year. A really complete film. It's her directorial debut. Jess will really like it. Nicole will really hate it. And my mom will like it until the end. So
that does sound like something I would like.
Jess would like this the most out of
it. Will. Jess will be in the theater making notes. How do I do this? I'm going to be doing this.
Yeah.
This
is what I'm
gonna be doing. Jess would really like this. Nicole would not. Okay, would like it till the end. When I make you all watch this, there's my prediction right here, right now. Promising Young Woman, number three of the year. Really great debut from Emerald. All right.
Can I go see it now? Is it in the theaters?
You should check your thing. I know theaters are open by you. They're still,
yeah, I know, but I feel
theater.
Like they're still putting out Polar Express, so, you know.
No wonder you don't know what year things come out.
They still play in the Polar Showman.
Polar Express just got to Maine.
Wow.
Hot.
We're onto our top two now. Back to you. Okay.
It's back to me. Okay. Number two is a movie that I hope and I think is probably going to be in anybody who saw its top. Haven't mentioned it yet. Maybe somebody has. Sound of Metal. Love Sound of Metal. That movie I had no expectations for, and I was blown away. Just the storyline, the brevity of what you learn in the story. It's masterful. I loved it. Another movie that I'm recommending constantly when people are, you know, saying, I think we're going to rent Tenet tonight. And I'm like, please don't. Get this for free, because if I hear this is what happens, I'll say, don't do it. You're not going to like it. And then all I hear for the next week is how I don't understand. I'm like, I had a whole podcast on it. You could have just listened to it. I told you not to do it.
I recommend Tenet.
Yeah, I know. But
I think Sound of Metal is a better movie. I agree.
That's not my people. But Sound of Metal, number two.
It's a good one to recommend to most anyone. I think most anyone could like Sound of Metal. All right, on to you, Jess, for your number two.
So my number two was also Sound of Metal.
Yeah! Ooh, we got a new front runner. We got a new front runner for a film of the year.
Yeah. I had basically the same reaction as Mama K. I didn't really know what it was going into it, but much appreciation after watching it. It was just well done and just balanced and wholesome and just very good.
Yeah.
There we go. Stuck the landing. A lot of movies like that don't stick the landing, but real good ending too.
Yeah, great ending.
Without spoiling what actually happens, but because Nicole, you got to watch that still. You know.
Sorry to screw up everything, but I didn't see it. So.
Well, what's your number two, Nicole?
My number two is another documentary, and
oh boy.
It's not Pigeon Kings again.
Pigeon Kings 2 and 4.
This documentary is called Crip Camp, A Disability Revolution. And it was all about how the ADA was enacted and how people with disabilities fought for accessibility in buildings and easier way of life in public areas, and just the things that those people went through and the background story on a lot of the characters in it. Really heartwarming, really sad and touching to see what they went through. And I actually did cry at the end of this because it was so touching. So I think if you're looking for a documentary, that is a good one to pick.
Yeah, I like it just because you cried, and when you cried in a movie, it reminds me, like, oh, she understands. She understands. Usually it's a documentary about disabled people. But, Crip Camp, excellent documentary. Almost upset Mulan in our tournament, in our draft tournament. Only
I have a bone to pick with two people that didn't pick me, but it's okay. It's fine. Ugh,
you know, well. I guess they just don't like disabled people. That's really what it comes
Stop, down. Stop. Don't say
Number two film of the year for me. There were two Pixar films this year. Both were very close, but Soul slides on to number two of the year. It met my lofty expectations. It's not a top five Pixar film, but to crack that is a tough nut to crack. That is a very difficult difficult place to get into, but it is a top half Pixar for sure. I liked it more than Onward, which I thought was also a good movie and is in like an honorable mention territory. But Soul, really complete film, one of the most mature, definitely better than Inside Out. I don't know why people like Inside Out so much. It's vastly inferior to Soul. So yeah, Soul, my number two film of the year. And now we're wrapped around to our number ones of the year. Recap. Mama K, from 5-2, Defy Bloods, On the Rocks, The Vast of Night, and Sound of Metal. Jess has Vivarium, His House, Uncle Frank, and Sound of Metal. Nicole starts with His House, Pigeon Kings, Hamilton, and Crip Camp. Very unique list right there. Mm-hmm. And I have Trial of the Chicago 7, My Octopus Teacher, Promising Young Woman, and Soul. Here we are, number ones of the year, Mama K.
You're really close with your number two because Soul is the number one movie.
It slides past Sound of Metal.
I'm not sure. Yeah, and I'm surprised that it did that. I think it did that only because I actually watched it for a second time a couple days ago, and I was like, this is just, you know, it's really, 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 really good. And it is... it is a more adult film, and it is a little bit of a break from what Pixar normally pumps out. It's just advanced. I think that's what it is. It's like Pixar Plus. This is moving on. So I have really high hopes for what's coming up next for Pixar, what's coming up next for Disney and everyone. So and Star Wars and so Marvel, I gotta say. So I think that this is just a good stepping stone for them, and it's a really great movie. And even with those little Pikmin creatures, which, yeah, that's what they were when I watched them the second time. They were Pikmin creatures. So that's my number one, Soul, Pixar, Disney.
There it is, Soul, number one for Mama K.
What Jess's is.
What is, I don't know, Jess.
My number one is also Soul.
Oh my God.
I didn't tell any of you guys that I saw it. Yeah. My friend Karen texted me and said Soul is the best film created in 2020. So I was like,
former guest of the show, Karen.
And I haven't, remember when we were doing the draft, I haven't even heard of it. I didn't know what it was. And she texted me afterwards and I watched it and I was like, yep, absolutely agree. Best film 2020, hands down. Yeah. I gushed to people at work about it, and my coworkers, my boss watched it, and they all agreed. Everyone thought it was brilliantly done.
Yes. Oh my God, I'm lower on Soul than you two. That almost hurts my soul. I don't even know if I can handle that. But, you know,
that can
you know,
only happen in the real world.
So. I think I am proud. I'm very this made me really happy. I really turned it all around for me. Nicole, we're gonna make it another a perfect Soul streak.
My number one is a Pixar film. My number one is a Pixar film.
Oh.
But it is not Soul.
It's Onward.
My number one pick was Onward this year, and I have to
you
say,
you really liked that. Yeah,
I really
Nicole
liked that.
Loved Onward.
That is what gave me
that still.
Look. That is what gave me the ideal Pixar feeling. That's the warm fuzzy. Okay, Brennan. Like that's my All warm right. fuzzy. Is Onward Pixar style. Soul was not. I'm not gonna lie, it was a great film. It is in my honorable mentions, but it didn't have that same characteristic that I always enjoy when I'm watching a Pixar film. And I think it's just because, you know, this newer style that they were trying out, while I think it was great, I'm not ready to give up the old way yet. Like, I still like that. And that's why I think that Onward tugged at my heartstrings a lot more than Soul did. And another movie that I cried my eyes out at. So sorry for Soul, but I had picked Onward instead.
Onward made my honorable mentions as well. And my number one of the year is apparently, according to Jess, the very forgettable, to me, unforgettable. I think the only movie I watched twice, like back to back, like first day and then watched again the next day. I'm thinking of Ending Things. Ooh. I'm thinking of Ending
Wait,
Things.
Really? You like it that much?
Favorite movie of the year. Favorite movie of the year. The only one I watch. As I say, I can't wait to go back and watch a third time. I've been busy watching new stuff, but now that I have completed the 500 challenge, I can go back and indulge in my favorites of last year.
Oh,
but
good. Maybe I can pick some things now.
We've been watching My 600 Pound Life for like 4 days straight. All right, like you get your time. You get your time. No, I'm thinking of Ending Things. I love his movies. They're real thinkers. They have all kinds of depth in them, like an endless amount of depth to mine. Like I rest easy knowing that I'll never mine to the bottom of I'm thinking of Ending Things, even after a dozen watches. And I always get something extra in new performances, or, you know, both in my honorable mention and wins. Okay, I seem to like the performances as well too. So that's I take solace in that. Just a lot going on, all my kind of stuff. Really loved I'm Thinking of Ending Things. And so our film of the year on three out of the four lists, two number one spots and a number two spot, it is Soul is Soul. Our number one of the year as a consensus.
Awesome.
Honorable to Sound of Metal, which got 2 second place finishes, and His House, which was also 2 appearances on the list. But Soul taking home the dub this year. And do we have any other honorable mentions? I'll start with you, Mama K. You have any honorable mentions you wanted to throw on as well that we haven't already talked about?
I think all of them that I had on here were all talked about. It was Uncle Frank, Hamilton. I did watch on my own Trial of the Chicago 7, and I enjoyed it. I'm thinking of Ending Things, of course. I think that was really... I have my notes here, and that I have things scratched out next to all those that I just said, because I'm like, okay, is this number 5, or is this number 4? And then I just kept going back and forth. So, it's nothing different. I don't have a, you know, Angry Bird marathon or whatever.
Pigeon kicks.
I don't know. pigeon throwing.
Do you have any others, Jess?
Don't
like
knock
you
it till you try it.
You gotta try it.
I have to watch it.
It's only like an hour, 10 minutes. It's brief. Oh, it's so good. Do you have any others, Jess? I know you were kind of scraping to come up with your last pick, but
yeah, no, I think I said everything I wanted to about the films this year. I thought it was cool that Mama K and I both had number one and number two spots the same. So
that is true.
Twinning there.
All right, Nicole, do you have any other ones you wanted to mention?
I just had 5 there. I also had Soul, obviously. I had Charles of the Chicago 7. I did have my Octopus Teacher on there. I also had 2 that we haven't said. They're fun and lighthearted. Enola Holmes and The Prom were on my honorable mention. They were just fun to watch.
Enola Holmes. Yeah.
Prom Enola was good. Holmes was fun. You're right.
Mm-hmm. It was okay. Honorable mentions that haven't been said. I have a bunch, but most have been said. Wolfwalkers, which was very close to making my top 5. That is on Apple Plus, one of their 6 things. They really don't have very much. But if you happen to have it, Wolfwalkers, excellent animated, like folklore kind of movie. Really unique style. Great story. Really enjoyed it. Let's see. Onward said Sound of Metal, Tenet, Bora. Platform. We never got to reviewing The Platform because other things kept coming up, but that is... Spanish language film about a prison complex thing. Very good. The Climb, which is an indie movie that I saw in theaters about these 2 best friends, and they have a falling out and they get back together, and there's all kinds of stuff going on there. Freaky, which is made by the guy who made Happy Death Day, so Jess doesn't want to hear that, but Freaky is a very funny body swap horror slasher comedy, which I've grown to like the horror slasher comedy genre quite a bit.
What is that? No.
It's like they take the old 80s movies and like the tropes, but make them funny, and you know.
It's the Geico commercial with the saws hanging from the place.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, yeah, I get. Okay. Yes, I suppose it's like a movie of that. But
I could just watch a Geico commercial, though.
That's a little more fleshed out than that. Rent-A-Pal, which I mentioned when I talked about Brian Landis Fulkins. VHS, made by the son of Tim Robbins. It's a very weird movie where a kid watches a bunch of old home movies and there's stuff he recorded on his TV, and it's all very odd sketch comedy kind of stuff. If you're like weirdo movies, VHS, go check that one out. Yes, God, Yes. VHS. Yes, God, Yes. Honorable mention, The Girl from Stranger Things goes to like a Bible camp thing. Very funny coming of age story. Wade in the Water, about a fat incel guy who tries to kill a pedophile. The Assistant, which I already talked about, and King of Staten Island, I finally got around to. I think that was a pretty good Judd Apatow movie. A little long, but
Than that other one, right? Ugh.
Which other one?
It had to have been.
Big Time Adolescence.
You liked that.
I did. I pulled a Jess and I went back and thought about it, and then I just decided.
And you switched it the other way this time, though.
Yeah. I think it happens.
I think it was a better movie than Big Time Adolescence, but yeah, they're both quite good. And then honorable mention documentaries: David Attenborough, A Life on Our Planet. It's his last of his series. Very good film. Boy State, about these like up and coming like teenage boys go to be like politicians for a week, and it's full of testosterone and yelling, and they try to elect things. It's very intense. Very good documentary. It started as a joke about comedian Eugene Mirman and the comedy festival he made, and it's also about his wife dying of cancer. That's a very touching documentary. Class Action Park, fun documentary that Nicole and I just saw about Action Park USA and its horrible things. Mm-hmm. And Tread, the movie about the guy who builds a tank and destroys his town, and it's fucking crazy. It's insane what he did. They call in state troopers. He goes on like a 2-hour rampage through his town, and it's amazing. Very scary, though. Very good documentary. That is all my honorable mentions. I know I had a lot. Anyone looking forward to any movies coming up before we wrap up?
Oh, let's not get that far. We just finished.
Are there even any movies coming up? I mean, yeah, Black Widow, but
yeah, there were some that were canceled that didn't make it to theaters. I was looking forward to, so I wanted. Whenever they show up, I want to see.
I know
those.
You wanted to see a Candyman, which that's been pushed back for like a year or so. That really, yeah, there's definitely some coming up. I mean, we did a more extensive that one last year, doing our looking forward to, but kind of seems like an exercise in futility this year. So we'll just skip that.
Because who knows?
Yeah, seriously, I have no idea. Before we close out, I got one more thing for the show here. Just hold on one second.
All right. Are we getting paid?
Yeah.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Your first paycheck's coming right now.
All right. Is somebody knocking at the door?
Oh, did her cat get out?
Oh, God.
Just knocking some stuff over here. I just have a thing I gotta read real quick here. So, all right, I typed up a little thing here.
Honorable mentions, part two.
This is a little more than honorable mention. So we've been doing the show almost 2 years, and Nicole and I have been together just over 3 years. And for listeners who don't know, we went to a movie on our first date. And there was one I wanted to see, and you said you wanted to see it too. And I warned you it'd be a really weird movie, and I wasn't sure if you knew what you were agreeing to. It was Darren Aronofsky's Mother, which if anyone has seen that, it's not the ideal first date movie. But we tightly gripped each other's hands in horror for the last 40 minutes. And we both ended up really liking it, and now we watch it every year on the anniversary of that day. So I didn't know if you knew by enjoying that movie on our first date, man, I'd be making you watch movies and talk about them on a microphone for years and years. But I really appreciate that you do. And I've loved all the trips we've been able to take and the experiences that we've gotten to share over the past 3 years, and the fact we've been able to spend nearly all day within 10 feet of each other for the last 10 months and not gotten sick of each other is a pretty impressive accomplishment too. So I want to ask you if you'll keep going places with me and keep sharing experiences with me and keep allowing me to force you to watch movies and talk about them into microphones. And this is where he pulls out a little box.
Oh my god.
And he opens it up. And he pulls out a ring from inside.
Oh my god.
And he asks, Nicole, will you marry me?
Oh my god. Oh my god. That is so beautiful. Yes.
You gotta say it into the microphone.
Oh. Yes.
Oh. Yeah, I can you repeat that?
Aw. So Jess.
Hold on, we're just putting it on here.
Aw.
Alright, well, as you guys are putting it on, I wrote a little something myself too. So let me read that.
Oh,
hold on. Hold on. Nicole took her headphones off. 1 second.
Oh my god. Can everyone hear me?
Yep, you're good. Go ahead. Jess said she wrote something for you. They were both in on it. They both knew this was happening.
Okay.
All right, you guys ready?
Uh-huh.
All right. As happy as I am for the engagement of you two, I am even more proud of myself for keeping this a secret for a month. To the listeners, witnessing this live is like a dream movie. If we're speaking in movie terms, let's cue the melodramatic music that Brennan hates and ripple in a flashback. I distinctly remember Brennan first gleaming about Nicole during the previews of my first MoviePass movie, It, at the Grimy's Moving 10. She bakes cakes, we talked literally all night long, and she abruptly hung up at 4 a.m. to go to work. Not long after that, we called her the girl, and very shortly after that, I had the honor of calling her my friend. We instantly clicked, and as cheesy as it sounds, all the stars must have been aligned for Brennan to introduce our friendship. I could go on about the endless laughter all four of us have, but we've got all the episodes recorded to prove it. I wish we could toast with house wine and cheesesteak egg rolls from Iron Hill with the good old days. But for now, I am truly so excited for your lifelong happiness. And most importantly, I'm ready for one hell of a wedding.
Oh my gosh. This is so amazing. Thank you so much for writing that. That is amazing.
Did you not see it coming?
No! How would I ever correlate the top five show in this?
Well, now it's recorded. We can listen back
That's
whenever.
That's amazing.
Everyone, all of our friends and family can listen.
Thank you so much for doing that. Thank you, guys.
This is the sweetest thing. It's the sweetest thing. Good job, Brennan.
Did you guys see Nicole. Thank you. Did you guys see this ring?
Oh, yeah.
Yep.
It's pretty good.
Shaking.
He's got the salary.
All right. I think I'm going to close this out right here. Thank you, Jess and Mama Kay, for being on. And thank you, Nicole, for saying yes.
Thank you. And I said yes if nobody heard it.
Yeah, I would have cut that out and then edited in my own.
That's how you get them to stay tuned to download the next episode. See what she's gonna say next,
right?
Oh, wasn't that a lovely stroll down memory lane? This is this is 2024, Brennan again, by the way. Just jumping back in here because you'll see in the title of this, it's a re-release episode, top five movies of 2020, Brennan's wedding proposal, and a bonus at the end. Well. Yes, the bonus at the end. This is what I'm referring to. You're about to hear, it's about 5 minute clip from my favorite episode, personally. And I don't think many of you have heard it. It's one of our oldest ones. It even has our original theme music, which is like a slightly different version of the song we have now. But it's like it's just a very basic version of that. And it's got that right at the beginning. And so you'll hear that. And then you're going to hear a little 4 or 5 minute clip from, again, one of my favorite episodes. One of our best commentaries, best insights. Like you get a really good idea of who like we all are. Like if you only listen to 5 minutes of our show ever, I would recommend it be these next 5 minutes. So yeah, I guess enjoy our best work. And yeah, we'll talk to you guys. Next week, hopefully. Again, hopefully, you know, we'll see. And welcome everyone to Films with Women in My Life. My name is Brennan, and joining me tonight is Jess.
Hey guys, I feel like I haven't seen you guys. Seen, heard you, or...
And Nicole.
And Mama K.
Hey, everybody.
And,
brand spanking new.
Yay. Well,
oh my gosh.
Everyone's favorite thing.
Hold on.
Okay.
Nope.
No.
Hey.
Yes.
We...
I pay. Oh. I don't have a. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Ever.
Oh, my God.
No. No.
Yeah.
Doug Trio?
Yes. What a treat.
Gonna, it's because
and I did it.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know, like,
yeah, okay,
I don't know about
yep.
I would,
you know,
no.
Yeah.
Okay. So,
you know, right.
Oh, yeah. So,
right.
There's so much.
Oh, yeah. 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 Kind of.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, that it's. Well, except for the.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. It's forgettable. Yeah. Okay.
Oh my god.
Or okay. Yes.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Oh.
Like. yeah.
Because you could
that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He's.
And
oh.
It's just the worst show we've.
Who cares?
You know,
I
he's no
no
wait. Yeah. Not
okay, so my
right
yeah I
right
right
yeah
yes
no
but wait no.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah,
I don't,
oh my god.
Right,
no,
they right right right
no
but...
that
no.
Oh my god.
Yes. Flat.
No.
Boring.
We get.
Oh my god. Oh my god.
So, yeah, I think
yeah,
that's
I wasn't you know, too into yeah. it. I thought that yeah, basically
got,
was good.
We got Mike Babbler and Tom.
It really was. But I sure would not Charlie call this a page turner. I don't know.
There's too much shit going on. There's too much.
I mean.
Oh my god. Oh my god. Oh my god. It's too much. Oh my god. Oh. Oh my god. Oh god.
Thanks for listening to Films with the Women in My Life. If you enjoyed being a listener in our life, subscribe to us on iTunes. Please leave a review as it helps more people find the show. Like us on Facebook at Films with the Women in My Life, follow us on Twitter at Films Women Pod, and check out our website, filmswiththewomen.libsyn.com. That's filmswiththewomen.libsyn.com. Original music for the show was created by Ian Burke. Original artwork created by Nicole D'Alessio. This show is produced by Brandon Snyder. Thank you again for listening and enjoy your movies.